Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
You are now entering a critical thinking zone. Thinking caps are required beyond this point. From deep behind enemy lines, deep in the heart of the Midwest, it's your host, Andrew Coppins. And it's time for Critical Thinking.
Welcome into a Truth or Fiction Tuesday here on Critical Thinking. Of course, I am Andrew Coppins. As that wonderful intro noted, he is Pat Oney, trying to be like me, wearing the glasses today. Yep.
It's because, you know, they are blue light glasses, and the eyes are a little tired this morning, so I'm like, I'm putting these on.
Good call. But yes, you can follow us on the socials. I'm at The Coppins Show. He's at The Pat Oney Show. You know the drill by now. Make sure you're subscribed to the Rumble channel, rumble.com/critical thinking. You can watch us every single Monday through Friday when we're here. And of course, do not forget, you can also subscribe, download, rate, and review the podcast wherever you're finding it on your favorite podcasting platforms. Again, all that we're going to ask of you this holiday season is continue to, if you're not even able to necessarily listen to the show, make sure you are entering into your podcasting application and just updating. Because when you have it subscribed and you have downloads on, the downloads matter. So even if you're unable in this busy, busy season to listen to us all the time, just keeping up with the downloads helps our numbers. Believe it or not, that will be very helpful to us. And the greatest gift that you can give us, tell one person this holiday season, one person, about this program. Let them know that we exist. Let them know that we critically think, and we are critical of the left and the right equally. Well, not equally, but fairly, I would say. And let them know that we have a path of reviving liberty at our foot, as our footprint here, not at our feet, but as our footprint. We are looking to get used to being different. We are looking at how we can root ourselves in God, how we can shine a light on the insanity, how we can be beacons of liberty in and of ourselves, even if this world is going to hell in a handbasket, no matter where you live, whether that's deep blue Chicago like I do or the reddest of red in Utah where Pat lives. That all having been said, this is a Truth or Fiction Tuesday. By now, if you don't know it, well, you'll get hip to it. But the basic gist is this. We're going to each give each other a couple of statements. The other person is going to decide whether that statement is truth or fiction, and we discuss. Of course, we'll also have the be or not to be on today's program. And Pat, I'm going to go first. And my first truth or fiction for today, MAGA died last Tuesday. Truth or fiction?
See, I'm going to have to go with fiction.
Okay.
I don't think MAGA died. I think MAGA took a hit. I think MAGA might have went down to the floor for a 10 count.
Okay.
The question is MAGA going to get back up? But I don't think it's dead yet. I do think that nobody expected the outcome that happened on Election Day last week, let alone what's going on into this week. Mm-hmm. Apparently, it's now election season, by the way, not Election Day.
Just day 7 out. Of Election Day.
Yeah. And actually, day and so, 8,
but whatever.
So I think this is a result of not necessarily MAGA. Because some MAGA candidates did okay. J.D. Vance did well in Ohio. Trump has done well in Ohio, right? Other places he hasn't done as well. And his followers have not done as well. But I don't know that they're down and out. I do think that there is a change in the winds a little bit in terms of MAGA. Especially when you have someone like Ron DeSantis that's climbing the ranks. But it ain't dead. Shifting maybe, but not dead.
Okay. I'm going to 100% wholly disagree with you.
Okay.
This is absolutely fact. And here's why. And let's let our listeners, our viewers decide which way they want to go here. I see your point, right? That there were some wins for MAGA. Right? J.D. Vance is a great example. You can argue Ron DeSantis kind of rode the MAGA wave, but he represents something different. He may does. Represent some of the same principles, if you will, but the delivery is vastly different, most importantly.
I would agree.
He also comes from the world of sanity versus the rest of these people. But here's why I disagree with you and why I think it died last Tuesday. Because Blake Masters, Alaska, Michigan governorship, Lee Zeldin losing in New York. And yes, we had talked about his ability to pull other people in to Congress, but he ultimately lost in a area in which some believed he was going to win. But it's not just these results, Pat. It's not just the Doug Mastriano getting his ass kicked in Pennsylvania. Mehmet Oz, who is the ultimate statement on MAGA. And here's why. Because he is a lesser version of Donald Trump himself. I want you to think about this, Pat. The lesser version of Donald Trump lost to a freaking vegetable. The people of Pennsylvania chose a man who cannot input data or output data. And what do I mean by that? He can't take in the words people are speaking to him, nor can he speak coherently coming back out. They chose that over the hand-picked Donald Trump candidate. Carrie Lake, it appears, is losing. Adam Laxalt lost in Nevada. Let's flip this on its head, though, Pat. Tim Michaels in Wisconsin, the governor, running against Tony Evers. He lost, and lost bigly. Ron Johnson, whom has some of the mantle of at least the COVID portions of the MAGA Forever crowd, right? He won. It turns out the people who ran on sanity and away from the insanity of the MAGA Forever crowd won. I also want to pick up on this. 79% of the American public in the exit polling that was done on actual election day itself, 79% of the American people either somewhat or strongly agreed with the statement that America was headed in the wrong direction. Did we see a red wave?
Oh, no.
Did we see a red tsunami, a red wedding? Hell no. Did we even see a red fizzle? Not even that.
Uh-uh.
Because in the Senate, they are going to pick up one seat on the Democratic side. That's right. The Democrats are picking up a seat.
And that's including the runoff between Warnock and Herschel Walker, right?
Well, Warnock is already in. So he counts as an incumbent. Warnock is already the senator.
But my point is that they have a runoff in December. So that seat's not been decided yet, right?
Right. So at best, it's a 50-50 toss-up, but it's not a majority. Okay.
Right.
And the Democrats would have picked up a seat to get to 50-50 because, by the way, it was 48-1 and 50 the other direction. Or 49-1 the other direction.
Wow. Right.
Because Bernie Sanders, right? Now it's 50-50. That's a L. That's not a well, we underperformed. That is an L, as we have talked about on this program for the past, four or five programs. But who the hell is taking the L? It's every single MAGA Forever, January 6th conspiracy theorist out there. Every one of them got their ass handed to them. Okay? Or, now we're supposed to believe the elections now are stolen too. Now we're going to get into, I think, this in a little bit, but I don't want to go totally down that road. What the American people, more broadly, again, Pat, have said, 79% of the American people said, I don't like the direction of this country. We are not headed in the right direction. And what did they do? Turn around and vote the same groups in that have led them down this path? If that is not a repudiation of your ideology of what has taken place in this country over the last 6 years, if that is not a repudiation, I don't know what is.
Let me ask you this. And maybe it's that you and I think about MAGA slightly differently. You know, I think that could be a possibility here too. Because I agree with a lot of the points that you're pointing out here, but is that more because of the GOP putting up bad candidates, or is that more of MAGA?
It's more MAGA because, yes, you're right, there are bad candidates, but let's put it this way. What is the funny thing that is happening in this election? It seems that every time we have a close result, it's going one direction, right? That suddenly votes are found in one direction, if you will. And that direction is towards the other side, okay? But the other weird coincidence is that in every single one of these cases, it is somebody who is MAGA forever, right? Every single one of these individuals, there is not a single solitary MAGA forever person that really won an election that was contested. Not a single one of the individuals that were put up with that ideology, with that thought process, right? The Doug Mastriano, the Don Baldricks, the Blake Masters, the Adam Laxalts of the world. All of them lost. You can go from governor to senator to congresspeople all across this country. I cannot point to other than J.D. Vance winning in Ohio, which, by the way, he didn't outpace Mike DeWine. Mike DeWine outpaced J.D. Vance in his victory there.
Jeez.
That's a comment for another day, but
right.
Whether you agree or disagree that Mike DeWine is this solid rock of conservatism or not. The point of the matter is this. The two people were on the same, on the exact same ballots, right? You had the opportunity to vote for both of them, and fewer people chose J.D. Vance than they did Mike DeWine. More people chose Tim Ryan and Mike DeWine. More people chose Ron Johnson, and this is the biggest mystery of all, Ron Johnson and Skeletor in Wisconsin. How do you square that, right? How do you do that? So my point in putting all of this information together, how is MAGA not dead? The American people said, we hate where we are as a country, and we also hate you. That's the reality of the situation, whether the MAGA Forever crowd wants to believe that or not. They gave you an ass beating all across this country in almost every single aspect of life. The only group that didn't get an ass kicking were the parents that stood up to the COVID insanity, that stood up to the woke ideology and the gender theory being shoved down their kids' throats in school boards across this country. But are those people MAGA forever? No, 99% of them are not. At the highest level, it was an utter repudiation of it. More importantly, we just had some polling come out, and I know that we don't want to trust necessarily all the polling, but when we look at the upcoming election here in 2024, in the four big primary states that are going to happen first, I believe, for the Republicans, Ron DeSantis has anywhere from a 7 to a 15-point lead over Donald Trump. Ron DeSantis has some. Now you could say, but Andrew, what about the border first? What about this? What about the policies? What about all those things? The American people, again, said, we hate the direction of the country and we also hate you. They didn't embrace MAGA ideology, MAGA candidates, MAGA personalities, Donald Trump. They repudiated all of it. That's the reality that is in front of us, in my view. What do you say in response to all that?
Yeah, so I mean, I guess I know people that would vote for Donald Trump in a heartbeat, but wouldn't necessarily vote for what would be considered another MAGA candidate. And that's anecdotal, right?
And that's my point about MAGA, because right. MAGA is just Donald Trump. If Donald Trump goes away, Donald Trump is at least a critically wounded animal on the side of the highway who just got hit by a semi.
I certainly agree with that. I mean, but I guess for me, for MAGA to be dead, Donald Trump can no longer really be, I don't know if relevant is the right word, but where he does not have the sway in an election that he's had until recently.
Right. And to that point, Pat, again, I would ask this question. Where did he win? Every candidate that he backed got their ass handed to them, with the exception of J.D. Vance.
Right. And I guess here's the thing. What happens when we all know what's happening here, but
isn't it supposed to be today that he announces his candidacy anyway?
I thought he was going to do that a week ago, but I don't know anymore. I'm going to be honest. I'm at the point where I'm just kind of sitting back, listening, taking it all in, trying to understand what in the hell happened. I'm not trying to make big predictions right now. I'm like, okay, I just want to shut up and listen.
I don't disagree with that, but at the same point in time, there has to be a reckoning as to what the absolute hell happened here. Oh, because, again, totally agree. I cannot square the fact that 79% of the American people said, yeah, we don't like the direction, and then kept the same freaking people in power.
Yeah, totes agree with that.
So seriously. I can't square those two. So I'm looking at that and wanting to listen and understand how the American people got there. What I really want to do, though, Pat, is I want to find that Ron Johnson, Skeletor, Tony Evers voter. What? These are
why
diametrically opposed individuals. They don't have a single thing in common with each other. Like, there's not a single solitary thing that they would agree upon politically.
I like to have a few of them on. And we can just talk to them. Get a few of those kind of people on and just talk to them about it. I'm like, what?
And look, we will protect we will protect your name. We'll protect your image. You know, we don't need any of that. I just want to know who, how and why. How and why you vote for Ron Johnson and Tony Evers, because that's only, that is the only thing that put Tony Evers over the top in this election, because it doesn't make sense. Ron Johnson won by a point and a half, but if you were to take Ron Johnson's vote total and then put it into Tony Evers' vote total, there were a whole lot of crossover there, because Tim Michaels did not equal Ron Johnson in any way, shape, or form. In fact, it's almost the exact amount that Tony Evers won by. What? So when I go through all of these things, what I look at for MAGA, right? Donald Trump is, I don't care if he runs or not, Donald Trump's a dead man walking. He has no clout, no credibility. He spent the last week flailing around going after George Youngkin, turning people away from him, calling him Chinese. Right? Because Youngkin. What?
Which makes no sense. It makes zero sense.
He has, over the last week, reminded every single person who held their nose and voted for him the last time around, because buttress against socialism, right? He reminds those people of everything they hate about him. And guess what? There is an actual alternative out there. Potentially two now, by the way. When you look at Ron DeSantis and Glenn Youngkin. Because guess who he inadvertently thrust into that spotlight? Glenn Youngkin. And guess what Glenn Youngkin did? The governor of Virginia, with Winsome Sears, who, remind you, turned that entire state red. The governor, the lieutenant governor, the Senate, the House of Burgesses, the Secretary of State, all of the great parts of that state apparatus are all red. Hasn't happened in like 60 years.
Yeah. Mm. Just for kicks. Would a more accurate statement be, and I think I would even be willing to accept this, that MAGA is mostly dead, but not all dead, because there's a difference between mostly dead and all dead.
I mean, if that's what you want to go with, that's fine. I think it's totally dead.
Okay.
Politically, policy, personality, the three P's, politics, policy, personality. Which one of those three is not dead? We just had not one, but two elections in which the American people said, screw you, to the policy, to the personality, and to the politics of MAGA. 2016 was a win. In fact, I could argue we've had three elections, 2018, 2020, and 2022. Donald Trump was a loser in all three of those elections. All of them. MAGA, that ideology, lost all three of those elections. That's the reality of it. Once, twice, three times a loser would suggest that you are donezo. We talk about Beto O'Rourke, right?
Just
talk about Stacey Abrams. So with that being said, Pat, what is your first truth or fiction?
Well, I'm going to adjust my truth or fiction here because we kind of answered lots of what I initially had in that initial discussion. But I want to look at Kerry Lake for a minute. Truth or fiction?
Mm-hmm.
Because as of right now, Katie Hobbs is projected to win Arizona governorship.
I believe it's the remaining vote total that's out there. Kerry Lake would have to win like 90% of it, and that just ain't gonna happen.
No. So that being said, we know there's shenanigans that was going on in Arizona. We just know that at this point. I'm not gonna sit here and say, "Ooh, the election was stolen." No, we have to prove that. Okay, and that will take forever to prove, most likely. But truth or fiction, Kerry Lake should challenge the results of that election.
Fiction. And here's why, because what does that do? What is that going to accomplish? Unless you have the goods, unless you have the ability to say, yeah, I can prove that Maricopa County was stuffing ballots throughout the last week. What does that prove? And so I want to be clear on this because I want to make sure that I'm not going to step on your toes.
Okay.
Because your second one because we talk about these off air, obviously, so that we're not tripping over each other on what we're doing. But here's what I'm going to say on this one. She shouldn't be challenging the election results because what does that do? It reminds everybody of exactly what they repudiated and hated within the MAGA crowd. The election was stolen. The election was stolen. January 6th. The election was stolen. Election was stolen. Election was stolen. There's a way to make that same case that you're making without saying the words, "the election was stolen."
Right. And I'm not saying.
Right. So what I am saying is that it doesn't make any sense for Kerry Lake to do that because it only hurts her. She is arguably, this is the craziest part for me. She is arguably the single best candidate I have ever seen run on the Republican side. Smart. Hip to the game of today. She can think on her feet. And most importantly, she delivers a whole package. And it's still lost. What do you do with that? Again, that's why we're talking about sitting back, listening, trying to process. Because I don't think there's an answer. Or like gun answer here. And so I think it's important. And Ben Shapiro pointed this out, which I happen to agree with. The side that gets the political message first wins. And what was the political message sent on last Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, right? What is the message, right? And it seems as if the Republican Party gets most of that message already. Okay, that's a good news situation. The other good news situation is that the Democrats are signaling this is a massive, not just repudiation of politics as they have been, but a endorsement of the leftist agenda. And I don't think that's what the American people are telling you. So go ahead and take that message away. Because you will get your ass handed to you the next election. Whoever understands the message the American people were sending to both parties first wins. That's the reality of the situation. So for Kerry Lake, getting the message means what? Not going down the road of conspiracy theory. Not going down the road of contesting the election. What I would suggest is that she becomes a massive advocate for electoral change. And here's what I mean by this. Katie Hobbs, her job is the Secretary of State of Arizona, right?
Mm-hmm.
What has she been in charge of? Elections.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to suggest one bit that there was actual foul play. But when you are the Secretary of State and you are about to run for the governor of the state that you are Secretary of State in, you resign as the Secretary of State. Did Katie Hobbs do that?
No.
No. Conflict of interest much? So if you're Carrie Lake, how do you affect change going forward? Because this was a close election. You do two things. You become an absolute advocate for reform of the elections in that state, number one. And number two, you become a strong Ron DeSantis ally. Every chance you get, you appear with Ron DeSantis. Every chance that Ron DeSantis, every chance that you get to talk about how you agree with that movement, how you want to take and model some of the aspects of the successes of the state of Florida to Arizona, you win. She has a bright future ahead of her, in my view. I think she runs again in 2026 and probably wins.
There's also another silver lining here, you know, because a lot of people have thought, well, she could be a great, you know, presidential mm-hmm. pick or a great even VP pick. This does technically open her up. If, you know, if Ron DeSantis runs, I mean, she could possibly be a VP pick for him if he runs. That is possible. It is more possible now than what it would be if she had won the governorship in Arizona.
Potentially, but I think the loss hurts her on that stage.
True.
It would be like picking Stacey Abrams for me. What you talking about, Willis? You couldn't carry the state, right? So the reason you would pick somebody like that would be to help you carry that state over the finish line.
True, which is why Kim Reynolds would still be a better choice. In my view.
Iowa doesn't carry enough clout for me to care about that.
Fair enough.
Because it is already deep red.
But I said the same thing about Mike Pence in 2016.
And right, you were right. I mean, what was the point of putting him out there? The only reason Mike Pence got that gig is because he was the sane, right? The vision of sanity. In that insane campaign, right? That's why you did that. And it was a toss of the bone, if you will, to the more mainstream conservative, if you will, right? Now, all of that notwithstanding, Pat, I think it is time for us to move on. Let's play a little bit of the B or not the B before we get into our second Truth or Fictions. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right, so today's headline on the B or not the B, if it will pull up at any point in time. All right, so here's today's headline.
Uh-huh.
The U.S. national soccer team replaces the American flag on their jersey with the pride flag. The U.S. national soccer team replaces the American flag on their jersey with the pride flag. Is this the B or not the B? And while you're thinking about that, do not forget, folks, if you live in Illinois or anywhere else, and you are looking to make a move either to Illinois, from Illinois, to Chicago, from Chicago, I've got you covered. Andrew Coppins, real estate agent with Exit Strategy Realty here in Chicago. There's a lot of things that are changing in this marketplace and a lot of things that need to be very specific to your individual situation. So if you want to book a consult with me, go to closewithcoppins.com. Again, closewithcoppins.com. Let's go ahead and book that consult so that I can understand your needs, your wants, and let's get your situation right. And by the way, if I can help you outside of the state of Illinois, here's how I can do it. I can get you in touch with an agent that I trust, somebody that I personally can vouch for that will work best for you. That is key, because here's the reality, Pat. 9 times out of 10, the first real estate agent that is in front of somebody will be their agent. Have they vetted them? Do they understand whom they are, what they believe? More importantly, do they understand your needs, wants, and how to get results for you? How do you know that? You need to actually do your homework. And a great way to do that is, even if you don't know any real estate agents in the area, but you probably know somebody else who is a real estate agent, and if you trust that person, let them do the referral work for you. They can get you an agent that they will trust, that they personally can vouch for. And I think that's pretty much gold these days. Again, you can go to closewithcoppins.com. You can always DM me on TikTok or Instagram. And that is at closewithcoppins as well. So you can follow me there for all of your real estate needs. Again, that's closewithcoppins.com or Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, at closewithcoppins. All right, with that out of the way, Pat, do you need the headline one more time?
One more time.
The U.S. national soccer team replaces the American flag on their jersey with the pride flag. Is this the B or not the B?
I'm going to go with not the B. Because I can totally see them doing that. Totally see them doing that, especially on a world stage anymore. I mean, besides basketball, I mean, soccer is up there for me in terms of woke sports. So, yeah, I could totally see them doing it.
Good instinct, because you are correct. Yes, the U.S. national soccer team just replaced the American flag colors on their jersey with the pride flag. Now, what you need to know, Pat, is that the badge, right? The USA soccer badge, right?
Uh-huh.
It's got the stars and stripes on it, right?
Okay.
The stripes have now turned from red, like they were on there, to the pride colors. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The World Cup is being played in Qatar this year. And for this trip to the Middle Eastern nation, the U.S. soccer has decided that instead of representing their country with classic red, white, and blue on their jerseys, they will instead feature the rainbow gay pride flag colors. Now, I'm gonna stop this right here, because this is where they actually get this story wrong. This is not what the U.S. men's national team is actually doing. Okay? That's not what's actually happening. What they are doing, though, Pat, because here's the reality of the situation, right? In Qatar, if you're gay, you die.
Right. I was about to ask you that question. Is that why they're doing this?
So they're not the only ones making a stand. And there are fan bases all across the globe who have been making this stand. Don't go to Qatar. Don't go to Qatar. Don't spend your money there. Make a statement, right? And that's your prerogative. Personally, I wouldn't be going. And it's not because of their stance on this. It's because I refuse to spend money in a nation in which they enslaved people to build the stadiums, allowed them to die in squalor by the hundreds of thousands, by the way. That's why I refuse to go there.
Is that a bigger problem than the whole LGBTQ LNOP repo going on over there? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But according to the Daily Mail, the U.S. men's national team have made a huge statement at the World Cup in Qatar by redesigning their crest to incorporate the rainbow flag in a bid to show solidarity with the LGBTQ LNOP alphabet soup community. The tournament, which starts on Sunday and sees the U.S. play their opener against Wales on Monday, has been hugely controversial in its buildup, given Qatar's human rights record and attitude to homosexuality. As recent as this month, a Qatar World Cup ambassador told a German TV broadcaster that homosexuality was, quote, damage to the mind, and it remains illegal to be gay in the conservative Muslim country. Now, what they want you to believe is that they're going to wear that crest, right, as they represent the United States of America on the field come Monday, right?
Right.
That's not what's happening. So what they have done is they've taken So everybody has a training ground, right, that they use and in a base of operations, right? All 32 teams, right? So what the United States has done is instead of wrapping their training base in like the messaging of like, so they have this campaign called One Nation, right? And it's meant to be one nation, no matter what you believe and what you practice and blah, 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 right? It's a great message. One nation under God is the next part of that. But hey, okay. So they've taken that messaging and instead, and all they've done is replaced the red, white, and blue parts of the rest of that messaging with the gay pride flag and all that stuff. Okay. So they're sending a message, right? But they're not replacing it on their uniform. They're just putting it as a statement in the on the training ground. Do I necessarily have a problem with that? No. Do I think it's a little bit hypocritical of the woke left? Yeah. And here's why, Pat. Last time I checked, the woke left tells us that shut up and don't be a bigot, and you can't impose your morality on me, right? How dare you suggest that there's a moral right and righteous and a right and wrong? Yet, they're doing the very same thing to the Qatari government and the Qatari people. Well, we in the West are so progressive and woke that our ideology is the correct one. Now, I will suggest that stoning and killing people simply for being homosexual is terrible, horrible, no good, very bad. Right? I can't. Right. I firmly believe that. But this is coming from the. If I firmly believe that my religious value tells me, right? If my religious value tells me that marriage is between a man and a woman, I'm a bigot. Right? These very same people that tell me I have to accept their woke ideology or else how dare you, you oppressor, are now attempting to do what? Force their ideology on somebody else. So there is a moral right and wrong. There is a black and white, if you will, on this morality, right? Now there is? How far are you going to go with this, right? Is your demand now what? That these people have to change all of their laws. And it's not just that homosexuality shall be accepted. It's that it now must be celebrated by the Muslim majority nation? What you talking about? But we also have to accept the Muslim religion.
Mm. I just don't know that I get over. I just can't get over the fact that you are prioritizing this LGBTQ LMNOP woke agenda, you will,
mm-hmm.
over slavery. I can't get over that. I'm like,
your protestation is homosexuality. Mm. You're perfectly okay with shutting up and playing the game when hundreds of thousands of people that built the stadiums died building them.
Mm.
They died because of safety issues. They died of malnutrition. They died of squalor. There was a report some 4 years ago, I believe, from ESPN. You can go look at it. Outside the Lines, Jeremy Schapp was there. Follow the journey of people from Nepal. Right, that were coming to build the stadiums in Qatar, who had their passports revoked, taken away. They became slaves, literally slaves, because they don't exist on paper in that country. They became slaves to the Qatari government to build the stadiums, to build all the accoutrements of the World Cup. Hundreds of thousands of them died. And what did the entire world do? Shut up and played all of the games to get you to the World Cup, to make the multi-billions of dollars that you're going to make. You shut up and played. Yep. This is the line in the sand that you're drawing literally and figuratively. See what I did there?
Yeah.
That's the line in the sand that you have. Not the fact that human beings died in squalor, in slavery, to play the game that you're playing come Sunday. That's the stand that you're that's the boom moment. What the hell is going on?
While here's the thing. Because I watched the World Cup before. I'm not a soccer fan, but World Cup is usually, pretty entertaining stuff.
It's a fantastic celebration of the globe. That's what
right.
it is.
I agree.
In my view, it's a better celebration of the globe than the Olympics.
Anymore. But here's the other thing.
And it always has been.
I would even go as far as to say, this is a great time for just us as a country to just forget politics for a while and root for a common interest, being Team USA.
Yeah. And I mean, we play Wales on Monday. Okay.
Yeah.
At 1 p.m. Central Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. In fact, all of our games, by the way, are going to be 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Central. So noon. So you can take your lunch break for 2 hours, Pat.
Here's the thing, though. I don't know if I'm going to watch a minute of it.
So I obviously I'm going to. I mean, we just got back to the World Cup after missing out the last time around. Now, this is a dog shit team, in my view. I'm not impressed by the roster here. Really not. I mean, Christian Pulisic, the main guy there, he hasn't been in great form for Chelsea. He has not been playing well. We have a lot of holes that we need to fill thanks to injuries and other issues going on. But we play Wales on Monday, the day after Thanksgiving, Black Friday, right? Everybody's off. Everybody's going to whatever. 1 p.m. Central Time, so 2 p.m. Eastern, we play freaking England. As one of my friends who owns a soccer bar here in Chicago told me, this is going to be the drunkest day in American history. Because you've got all the British expats, you've got, the World Cup crowd that does this every few years. But most importantly, nobody has any responsibilities the next day, right? It's not like you go to the World Cup celebration and then leave. He's like, this is going to be the drunkest America has ever been. He's like, you're probably right on that. And then we play Iran after that. So we have geopolitics like crazy in this game. So in this group, it's going to be fascinating. I'm going to struggle to
just out of curiosity, though, do you think England will finally get its revenge for 1776 in that game?
It largely has not been successful, by the way, because we beat their ass the last time we were in the World Cup. Did you know that?
I did know that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of the worst goalkeeping blunders of all time, by the way. Paul Robinson, right through the legs and the hands. Whoopsies. Now, sorry to remind all the expats out there from Britain, but sorry, not sorry. That being said, though, Pat, your final truth or fiction here, because we are running low on time.
Sure. I'll make this quick. And like I said, I'm switching these up from what I initially had just because I think we kind of answered them. And plus, there's just certain things I don't want to touch yet. That being said, truth or fiction, abortion was a much bigger issue in this election than what we originally had thought.
I'm going to withhold judgment on this one.
Okay.
And here's why. Let me ask you a very simple question.
Sure.
If you just generally polled all the single ladies. Anyway, if you polled all the single ladies and they told you that they voted 70-30 for the Democrats, what would that tell you? That abortion was a big issue for them, right?
I was going to say you could say that. You could make that argument from that. Yes, you're right.
Okay. But what if I told you that of all of those people that were polled, all the single ladies, 90% of them that voted for Democrats voted in urban areas. Does that change the equation? Yes, it does.
Yes.
Why? Because that wasn't an effect on the election. Urban areas in this country, by and large, with the exceptions of places like Savannah, Jacksonville, Tampa, Miami in this election, right? By and large, and by the way, Fort Worth actually went back to red this time around. But by and large, 99% of every single urban area is going to be voting blue no matter what. Okay. Does that affect the only way that I would suggest that if we can find the data that says in key races in key states, right? If in, let's say, for example, in Arizona, that that demographic outperformed that same demographic in the 2020 election or in the 2018 midterm.
Mm.
Okay, maybe you have a case. But the suggestion that single women under the age of from 18 to 29, I think, is the demographic that they had put out there. They're going to vote blue 70-30 anyway. So I haven't seen the data that would suggest to me that this is necessarily the, and this is the point of shutting up and listening, right? This is the point
right.
of
no, I agree.
We don't understand the data necessarily, is that, okay, yeah, you're right. You could tell me that 70% of the single women that went out and voted, okay, did they vote in red states like that? And did they affect elections in red states? Were they the difference between Blake Masters winning and losing an election? Except for Blake Masters underperformed Carrie Lake, and Carrie Lake is also equally pro-life. You know, Doug Mastriano versus Mehmet Oz, Tudor Dixon, right? You can look at Ron Johnson and Tim Michaels, right? How do you explain the those differences? Because that's what really matters to me. At the end of the day, yes, it's important to understand that 70% of the single women in America voted for abortion was a top issue for them, and they voted blue. Okay, but what did that actually affect? My answer is nothing. Right now, there's nothing data wise that points to that was a voting block that swung the election. My firm belief system right now, if I had to guess based on data, is that the independent voter, not the I'm already pro-abortion, but the independent voter believed the status quo was better than the unknown. And here's why I believe that, Pat. Because, again, you can't square with me, Ron Johnson and Tony Evers, you can't square with me some of these other crazy-ass election results in which the Republican wins this but loses this side, or this side wins but that side loses, right? J.D. Vance, a 5% underperformer, right? I get Herschel Walker underperforming Brian Kemp. I totally do. Because Herschel Walker is a dog shit candidate. But that's where I'm looking at it, right? What are the, if you're telling me that 70% of the independent women in red states went blue and that's what affected an election in Arizona, okay, great. But point me in that direction. I don't see any of it. You're giving me, this is the point of data can and stats can tell you anything. Great. Yeah, right. You're right. Okay, it was an important issue for the single women from 18 to 29. Okay, but what portion of those 18 to 29-year-old voters voted in rural areas? How many of them voted in urban centers, right? And if that is 90-10, it doesn't freaking matter. They were going to vote that way anyway.
So this I get your point on this, and I hope I'm wrong. I really do. I hope I'm wrong in this, but I tend to come down with truth on this. And like I said, I'm going to sit down, shut up, and listen as well, because I want to be wrong on this. I do. But I'm going with truth because I look at places like Michigan, where you have Gretchen Whitmer that won, and also you have at all the pro-life legislation that failed.
Yeah, Montana had a interesting – this is a part of the machinations of how you put stuff on the ballot problem for me. But you're right. There are some pro-life things that failed, like in Montana, in Michigan, right?
Yeah, Michigan. I was going to say those are the two states that come to mind initially.
Right. But then again, can you point to me the single lady crowd is the group that affected that? Because if I don't see that necessarily being the end all be all of how these things got over the finish line the way that they did. That's
maybe not. Point. Again, I hope that's where I hope I'm wrong.
But more importantly, Pat, I would rather be standing on the side of life always.
Sure.
And lose every damn election from here until the end of my days. Because I would save millions upon millions of lives doing so.
I agree.
It is worth losing every effing election to me. Hear me out, pro-abortion. I'm going to stand on the side of protecting life from the beginning of it to the end of it. You support not just abortion at the beginning of it, but you also, by about a 75-25 margin, support what? Assisted suicides and killing and euthanizing the old, the infirmed, the sick. Look at what's going on in Canada right now. The left literally has now said what about that? You can self-diagnose and under the age of 18 without parental consent, go for an assisted suicide. In what sane pro-life world does that happen? It doesn't.
Doesn't.
So guess what? I'm gonna err on the side of I care about you in the womb until you die. How does that sound? A die a natural death or die a death, however that happens for you, outside of killing yourself. Because that is a mortal sin. I don't care. I will lose every one of those elections, every one of them, Pat.
Now, I'm with you there.
I've got a real quick second truth or fiction. The real red wave that actually mattered and should have always mattered was the school boards flipping to red candidates all over America. Truth or fiction?
I go with truth on that, 100%. Because what impacts you more, your school board elections or your federal elections?
If you have kids, it's your school board election. Yeah. And by the way, if you don't have kids, it's still your school board election. Why? Pat, why would that be?
I'm assuming you're going down the road of property tax.
No, I'm going down the road of what they are teaching the next generation will impact you as you go on in life.
True. That's also a point too. Yeah.
So people always ask me, why do I care about the local school stuff here in Chicago or elsewhere, right? It's because, number one, I pay property taxes for that school. My money is paying your ass, okay? That's number one. And number two is that indoctrination center affects my ability to live life going forward. Because as I get older, the groups of people in power, the groups of people that will maintain power are the people that you're indoctrinating today. It's just that simple. And I agree with you 100%. This is truth. Winning these school board elections and bringing some sort of sanity back in a wider swath, ending the stupid drag queen stuff, ending the stupid pride flags and all that shit in the classrooms, right? Ending the or affecting the end of the woke ideology as much as you humanly possibly can. How do you defeat a cancer, right? How do you defeat even a wart? You root it out completely, right? You get to the root, you dig to the root, and you take it out. That's how you do this. And that's the school board is that tool that you start rooting this stuff out. I'm not saying it's going to happen overnight. This is a generational thing, but it has to start somewhere, and that somewhere is on your school board. Because once it goes from the school board to the people that are being taught in those classrooms, those people then go on to the next level of education or the next level of life and are affected differently than the group that just came before them 4 years ago. It is the fastest, quickest, and smartest way to affect life in America. And if you believe, like I do, and like Pat does, that we are seeing the spirit of the age running amok through all of our institutions, especially education, especially academia, that's where it starts and that's where it's going to have to end. And winning these types of elections matters. It matters more than the presidency. It matters more than all of that other stuff. Because it is right in your backyard. And with that, Pat, your final thoughts?
Don't get lost. Remember who you are. No means no. And for Andrew's next day of his birthday month, quote unquote, he gets cough medicine.
Please be smart, be safe, be kind. Do not forget to eat all your meals today. And as always, Matthew 5:47.
This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.